All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we are breaking down my insights into new Falcons head coach Arthur Smith's offense from his days in Tennessee.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong on Twitter at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's episode will be our deep dive into sort of the tendencies and concepts and what our expectations are of Arthur Smith's offense from particularly last year in Tennessee, and sort of where that applies to some of the things that the Falcons might do in 2021. And before we get into that deeper dive, looking at sort of Arthur Smith's, you know, play action success and red zone success and outside zone scheme and his passing concepts, I do want to talk about and catch you guys up on the news from the weekend, in which the Falcons hired several more coaches. Arthur Smith's coaching staff is nearly complete. There's a couple more hires that should be coming down the pipe, possibly even today as you're listening to this, and this week. So we're almost done in terms of that phase, but let's sort of jump into our lead story talking about the seven new assistants that Arthur Smith hired over the weekend. The Falcons added seven more coaches to head coach Arthur Smith's new coaching staff over the weekend, filling the majority of the main roles left among the assistant coaches. Justin Peel was added as the tight ends coach. Dwayne Ledford was hired as the offensive line coach. Danny Breyer was retained as an offensive assistant. Gary Emanuel was hired as the defensive line coach. Frank Bush was hired as the Falcons' new linebacker coach. Matt Pease, the son of defensive coordinator Dean Pease, is hired as a defensive assistant. And Steve Hoffman was hired as a senior assistant, likely working with special teams. Peel returns to Atlanta to coach after playing for the Falcons from 2008 to 2010 as a tight end. Peel spent 10 seasons playing tight end for various teams in the NFL before joining the Philadelphia Eagles coaching staff 6 years ago, where he coached Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz, as well as backup Dallas Goedert, one of the league's top tight end duos the past few years. Ledford has spent his entire career coaching at the collegiate level, most recently at Louisville, where he coached 2020 first-round pick Mekhi Becton. Before that, he was at NC State, where he coached 2019 first-round pick Garrett Bradbury. Ledford, too, is a former NFL player, having played center for multiple teams from 1999 to 2006. Breyer joins Dave Brock as the only coaches so far retained by Smith from the Dan Quinn coaching staff. Breyer's first year with the Falcons was in 2020, having come over from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Emanuel has nearly four decades of coaching experience, both at the collegiate and pro level. Most recently, he was with the New York Giants as their defensive line coach, and prior to that, spent 6 years in the same role with the Indianapolis Colts. His other NFL experience was 2 years with the 49ers from 2005 to 2006. Emanuel coached at several colleges, but multiple stints at Purdue since the late 90s are probably his most prominent, given that during that stretch of time at Purdue, the school was known as a pass rusher factory, having produced early and mid-round talents like Sean Phillips, Ray Edwards, Rob Ninkovich, Anthony Spencer, Cliff Averill, Ryan Kerrigan, and Kawan Short, all playing along Purdue lines and playing for Emanuel at some point over the past 20 years. Those seven pass rushers have a combined 9 Pro Bowls, nearly 400 sacks, and nearly 700 career starts among them. Bush is another highly experienced NFL assistant, coming most recently from the New York Jets, but also spent 2 years coaching alongside Arthur Smith in Tennessee from 2011 to 2012. Bush got his start in the NFL as a player in 1985, but a spinal condition cut his playing career short. He moved on to become a coach in 1993 with the Houston Oilers and spent many years coaching various teams, including the Denver Broncos in the late 90s, where five-time Pro Bowler Al Wilson was coached by him at the linebacker position. Other notable linebackers coached by Bush or developed by Bush include ex-Arizona Cardinals linebacker Carlos Danby, Houston Texans linebackers D'Amico Ryans and Brian Cushing, both Pro Bowlers as well, and L.A. Rams linebacker Alec Ogletree. Pease is the son of new Falcons defensive coordinator Dean Pease. Pease coached with his dad in Tennessee alongside Smith in 2017 and 2018 as a defensive quality control coach and was most recently a high school football coach in Ohio. Like Peel, Hoffman is also making his return to Atlanta after serving as an assistant with the team way back in 2006. He's well known as a kicking specialist and could be credited with the ill-advised experiment that saw the Falcons try to turn punter Michael Kanan into a dual threat at both kicker and punter in 06. Kanan struggled in that role before the Falcons were forced to have to bring kicker Morton Anderson out of retirement to replace him in one of those roles. Since then, Hoffman has served as a special teams coach or assistant on multiple teams, including alongside Smith in Tennessee from 2013 through 2017. With these hires, along with other ones made earlier this week, the Falcons are basically missing a running back coach, a defensive backs coach, and a strength and conditioning coach, as well as likely will hire a few more assistants before they have a fully intact coaching staff under new head coach Arthur Smith. So, guys, there's your Locked On Falcons lead story, and we're going to get into the conversation that I know you guys are eager to hear my thoughts on Arthur Smith's offense, and we'll sort of get into sort of what are some of the tenets of that offense coming up on today's episode. But before we get there, we know that when it comes to getting in or staying in shape, nothing feels quite as good as feeling that feeling of accomplishment, whether it's hitting your fitness goals or feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride Smart treadmill. No matter what your fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your own home. Echelon's world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. And unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to five family members all work at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Just go to echelonfit.com/lockedon. That's echelonfit.com/lockedon. Echelon Fit, the evolution of fitness. So before we get into Arthur Smith's offense, I want to let you guys know that you need to get the most sports news that you need in less time with the new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today as a daily podcast, breaking down the biggest story from analysis from all the local experts across the Locked On Podcast Network. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. So let's talk about the Arthur Smith offense. And we sort of glossed over these points earlier, but we know that a big tenet of the Arthur Smith offense is play action passing. You know, they were number one in their usage of play action in 2020. They were number two in play action usage in 2019 when Marcus Mariota, that fell to number nine under Ryan Tannehill, but he was so effective in it, they dialed it back up in 2020. So when you look at these past two seasons combined where Arthur Smith was calling plays for the Titans, you know, the only team that ran more play action plays or more higher percentage of play action plays was Baltimore, and we know a lot of that was read option stuff. So technically it was basically Tennessee and the Rams one and two in terms of quote-unquote traditional play action stuff. We know that they like to use a lot of pre-snap motion. The Titans were number six in terms of pre-snap motion this past season, and that gives the quarterbacks information about what sort of coverage the defense is in more the majority of the time, either indicating are they in man, are they in zone. So that's going to help with certain matchups, giving that quarterback a lot of information pre-snap. It also creates some mismatches as well where you can sort of move guys in motion. We saw that in that week 17 game against the Buccaneers where they got Chris Godwin matched up one-on-one against Foye Olukun. And you can get some of those one-on-one opportunities with that pre-snap motion. And the other tenet was how effective and how efficient the Titans' red zone offense has been under Arthur Smith. There's been no offense that's been more efficient combined over the last two seasons. And, you know, I think looking at the film, and one of the things I went back in order to get this information was I went back and looked at a lot of their red zone plays, not all of them. I looked at every third down red zone play that they had this past year. I looked at several of their first down throwing plays. I also looked at all, not all, but most of their big plays from 2020 as a way to sort of break down the stuff, because these are the things that I'm interested in. You know, watching their red zone offense, a lot of it is definitely spearheaded by their running game. I think it's not necessarily they're just relying on the running game to be as efficient, but I think the running game is allowing them to get into very manageable situations, which then helps out their passing game as well as their late down rushing attack, so that they can get into a third and two and run it, you know, on third and goal from the 2 yard line into the end zone and score points that way. But, you know, I think surprisingly for a lot of people, once you look at the numbers, particularly this past year, you know, their passing game was highly efficient, highly effective on early downs in the red zone. They had the second highest percentage of touchdowns in terms of early down throws in the red zone this past year. You know, I think some of that was owed to some creative play calling, utilizing play action in those situations, you know, utilizing plays like tight end rollout, you know, one of my favorites in the red zone. They would use bunch formations. They would use some rub route stuff when teams would match them up, you know, man to man in the red zone. So, you know, some creative stuff there in order to be the most effective passing attack, in particularly in the red zone on those early downs. You know, going beyond the red zone, when we look at the concepts used by Arthur Smith's offense, it does go back to something that Tyler Rowland, the host of Locked On Titans, said when he came back on the podcast last Monday, which was that the Titans do use some vanilla routes. They tend to rely, that was something I saw pretty consistently in my film study, whether we're talking about the red zone, whether we're talking about between the 20s, it does seem like they tend to rely a lot on man beaters. You know, and when I watched the third down red zone plays, it seemed like they were relying a lot on sort of those vanilla routes. And it was just like, you just got to get open on third down. And fortunately for them, I think their wide receivers won quite a bit, thanks in part to their size. And I think Ryan Tannehill made some excellent throws, some excellent plays, you know, on some fade balls and whatnot, was able to extend some plays outside the pocket, and that allowed receivers to break open on those sort of second chance off structure plays. Another sort of vital element of the Titans offense, not necessarily in the red zone, is that they tend to rely heavily on these sort of max protects, these 7 and 8 man protections, which lead to a lot of plays in which they would only have 2 or 3 wide receivers out in the route. You know, I wonder a little bit, to a certain extent, due to the injury to Adam Humphries this season, how much of that was a reflection of that injury, and would they have done a lot more, you know, 3 and 4 man route concepts or 5 man route concepts had they had a little bit a healthier number 3 wide receiver. But one of the concepts that was a core concept of the Arthur Smith offense was the Yankee concept. That seemed to be their go-to big play option to AJ Brown. And it seemed like, probably not all, but a lot of his big plays came as a result of the Yankee concepts. And the Yankee concept is basically a 2-man route, typically, where you have one outside receiver run a vertical route to pull the deep safety. It's very effective against cover 3. And then you have the other outside receiver sort of run that intermediate or deeper dig. And that was a bread and butter play of the Falcons offense in Kyle Shanahan in 2016. And as Sark and Dirk Cutter took over, it became less and less utilized as a thing. So I think we'll see that come back. And we've seen the Falcons offense run that concept very effectively, and I think it will continue to be very effective. In terms of the vanilla route combinations, I do think there are times where I did notice on film where they were sort of specifically attacking certain coverages, but it wasn't necessarily something that I saw consistently, particularly when it came to some of their big play stuff, particularly in comparison to how Kyle Shanahan would utilize a lot of those things. But they did utilize stack concepts. They utilized bunch formations a lot, 3-by-1 sets and whatnot. You know, I do feel like with Arthur Smith, you know, the play calling was, relatively speaking, when you just look at run pass, pretty conservative. It was arguably the most conservative. Certain metrics indicate that it was the most conservative offense in the NFL the last two seasons, in terms of their pass frequency on early downs, you know, but it was pretty effective running that conservative offense. They had the fourth highest expected points added per run on early downs this past year, second highest expected points added per pass on those early downs, likely due to the play action. And expected points added tends to, in my eyes, sort of gear towards explosive plays. That, you know, the more explosive plays you generate, the higher your expected points, your higher your EPA is going to be. So that makes sense that because of Derrick Henry's ability to break off a lot of those longer runs, you would see them have a high EPA on their rundowns, particularly on those early downs. And that's also reflected in some of their other statistics. You look at Football Outsiders' offensive line stats and run blocking stats. The Titans were number two in adjusted line yards in 2020. They were number two in yards earned by the running back, number two in power success, which is, you know, their metric for short yardage plays. They were number three in open field yards, which is indicative of running backs being able to break those longer runs. And they had very similar numbers across those same metrics in 2019 as well. You compare that to the Falcons, who were number 26 in adjusted line yards, number 29 in RB yards, number 26 in power success, number 26 in open field yards. So the Falcons weren't really creating a lot of push last year, and their running backs weren't generating a lot of explosive runs on top of that. And that's a key difference between the Falcons and Titans offensive lines and run game. And now I think some of that, you know, the Falcons could improve quite a bit in that regard if they switch to that outside zone scheme, which we know is a staple of the Arthur Smith offense. But we know a lot of that Titans success is owed to the fact that they have Derrick Henry. And as I've said earlier, the chances are very low that the Falcons will have a running back as good as Derrick Henry has been the last two seasons in 2021. Maybe, you know, if they draft the right running back, maybe that guy can develop into a Derrick Henry, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the road. But chances are very low that we're going to get a 2,000-yard rusher or 1,500-yard rusher right out of the gate in 2021, whether the Falcons draft a guy or sign a guy. Very low probability. I think that's a pretty safe bet. You can take the under on how many rushing yards the Falcons lead tailback will have in 2021 if it's 1,500 yards. I would say that's a pretty safe bet. But, you know, one of the things I think the Titans offensive line is owed to is that their interior offensive line was much more effective, particularly in run blocking this past year, than the Falcons offensive line was. They had all three of their interior offensive line starters have run block grades from Pro Football Focus of 70 plus. The Falcons only interior guys were Chris Lindstrom and Alex Mack. And we know Alex Mack is leaving. So their only reliable run blocker on the interior that's coming back next year is Chris Lindstrom. So that's two, you know, areas where the Falcons are going to have to get significantly better. You know, Jake Matthews was a much better run blocker when the Falcons utilized the outside zone offense on a regular basis, which you have to go all the way back to 2017 to get that. But, you know, he's not on the level of Taylor Lewan. You know, he's never going to be that type of run blocker. Taylor Lewan is one of the better run blockers in the entire NFL. So you're not, basically the point of me saying all this is, chances are not necessarily high that the Falcons are going to be able to have the same sort of success running the football as the Titans have had the last couple of years. And it's going to be interesting to see how that changes and adapt and the adaptations that Arthur Smith is going to have to make, because his offense isn't going to be able to lean as heavily on the run game on early downs in the red zone to the same degree that he was able to do in Tennessee and play sort of a relatively vanilla offense in that sort of way of, like, we're going to run it on early downs, we're going to throw it on third downs, but when we do throw it, we're going to mix a very high percentage of play action passing. And one wonders if you don't have the run game, and we know that the numbers and there's decades worth of data that says you don't need to have a highly effective run game to have a highly effective play action passing game. Just look at Matt Ryan's efficiency in terms of play action passing over the years, where he's been one of the top quarterbacks in that regard when the Falcons have not had great running games. But, you know, you do wonder if Arthur Smith is a believer in that, right? Like, we can sit here and say the data says that you don't need to have a running game, but there's a lot of coaches out there that be like, no, we're going to establish the run and we're going to do all those various things. So one does wonder if Arthur Smith is going to fall into that trap of thinking like we have to establish the run in order to set up the play action, because Dirk Cutter was certainly one of those coaches. I hope Arthur Smith's not one of those guys, but we'll get more into sort of what adaptations Arthur Smith is potentially going to make coming up as we continue and wrap up today's Locked On Falcons podcast. But before we get there, guys, But earlier we talked about the exercise component of weight loss. Now I want to talk to you about the diet component. And of course, helping us out is Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar out there on the market. They have great flavors. My go-tos are coconut almond and peanut butter flavors. I'm also a big fan of their new white chocolate coconut deluxe flavors, but you can get other new flavors that they unveiled this past year, like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, lemon almond cheesecake, cherry barcia, and so much more. And Built Bars aren't just tasty, they're healthy too. They're low in sugar, low in calories, high in protein, high in fiber. I like using them as low calorie meal replacements for breakfast and lunch. You can use them in that manner, or you can use them to give yourself an energy boost pre or post workout, however you want. Just head over to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On to get 20% off your next order. That's promo code Locked On for 20% off your next order at builtbar.com. So the line is already set for the Super Bowl that is going to be played in Tampa Bay in 2 weeks. The Chiefs are favored by 2.5 points against the Bucks, and we know that Super Bowl is 2 weeks away. But in the meantime, you can join betonline.ag. It's the one place that has you covered, the one place that I trust, and bet on anything beyond the Super Bowl, including the NBA, the college basketball, NHL, if that tickles your fancy, for the next 2 weeks before we get to that Super Bowl. And you can just sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Again, don't sit on the sidelines. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So before we wrap up today's episode, I do want to let you guys know that tomorrow the plan is to do the running back year-end positional review. We already did the quarterbacks last week. We're going to continue our series as January comes to a close with the running back position tomorrow, looking back at the performances of the various running backs from 2020, as well as looking ahead to what the changes the Falcons may or may not need to make going into 2021. And on that note, that sort of gets us into what we're just talking about with Arthur Smith's offense. You know, how effective, how much can Arthur Smith lean on the running game in 2021? We've already heard him talk about, you know, being adaptable and not necessarily doing the exact same things that he did with Ryan Tannehill that he's going to do with Matt Ryan. What exactly are those things are? I don't know. I can speculate to a certain extent. But one of my concerns is if is something I mentioned before in the podcast and going back and watching the Titans playoff game against Baltimore this past month, was that in that game, the Baltimore Ravens shut down the Titans' run game. And, you know, you saw that Titans' offense kind of stagnate. Their passing game really wasn't that effective. And despite one really good series by A.J. Brown, you know, where he got the better of Marlon Humphrey in the first quarter, after that point, the Ravens were able to, you know, and they pride themselves on their ability to man up any team, and they were able to man up the Titans, and their passing game wasn't that effective. They weren't getting reliable separation. I think some of that is owed to Ryan Tannehill missing some plays, missing some throws in that game as well. But it goes to what I'm talking about is the main concern about Arthur Smith is if you don't have a running game and he relies on these vanilla route combinations, are you really getting a spectacular offense? I think you're getting a definitely a better offense than what we've seen from the Falcons these past couple of seasons under Dirk Cutter, largely due to the fact that my expectation is, going back to what I said earlier, you're going to still see a high dosage of play action passing, which is going to make this offense probably a little bit more explosive. You're going to see, hopefully, better efficiency in the red zone, which you can argue was probably the biggest problem with the Falcons last year, besides their running game, which I think is a big reason why the Falcons were attracted to Arthur Smith from the get-go, because those are the two boxes that he presumably checks. But one wonders, how far is that going to be? What is their ceiling, right? If they have, like, the, I don't know, the 22nd best running game, and, you know, they're relying on these, you know, man-beating routes and whatnot, and their receivers, and we'll talk about this later this week when we talk about the wide receivers, but the Falcons wide receivers aren't as good at beating man coverage as I think probably people would think. I certainly think you can make the case that the Falcons collectively, their wide receiver core is better than the Titans, but honestly, I think it's mostly due to the fact that Calvin Ridley is probably capable of getting easier separation and running a more diverse route tree than Corey Davis is. But I think really at this point in time in their careers, Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, there's not really much difference between them. You know, I think A.J. is probably much more physical, and that's saying something because we know that Julio Jones is not soft by any means when it comes to physicality. And I think, you know, maybe Julio at full strength is maybe a little bit more explosive in terms of his vertical speed, but only probably like by half a step or whatever the case may be. So I think it's kind of a wash there. So essentially the argument that you're making for the Falcons wide receiver core being better at getting open in those sort of man beater concepts is basically you're relying on Calvin Ridley's ability to get separation, which again is not a bad place to be. But we saw this past year that when the Falcons tended to rely on that heavily in Dirk Cutter's offense, it wasn't as reliable as you would want it to be. And then that's where I think having a quarterback like Ryan Tannehill works, is that when you rely on stuff like that, you're going to get a lot of second chance plays. And we know that while Matt Ryan has gotten better over the course of his career at extending plays and creating things off structure, he hasn't been nearly as effective doing that the last couple of seasons as he was probably at the height of his powers doing that in 2017. And I don't think that's going to get better as he continues to get older. So I think, you know, that was something that Tannehill was able to be effective doing, getting some of those off structure plays and being able to create a little bit with his legs and on his own. And I don't think you're going to be able to rely on that as much with Matt Ryan. So these are some concerns I have. If it sounds like I'm down on Arthur Smith's offense, it's not that I'm down on it, but I would basically, the point I'm trying to make is I would probably pump the brakes before anybody sits here and says like, oh, Matt Ryan's going to put up MVP numbers with this offense. I think this offense is a big improvement from the Dirk Cutter offense, but I don't necessarily know if you can expect Matt Ryan to immediately sort of bounce back. Let's just say like, I'm not going to set the bar super high. I'm not going to set the floor super high, right? I think the ceiling is high, certainly. We've seen what Ryan Tannehill can do in this offense, but I think Tannehill's a much more physically gifted quarterback than Matt Ryan. I think this offense kind of plays to that more than necessarily being that more mental element to the offense that Matt Ryan certainly excels in, particularly in comparison to Tannehill, but we'll see. And again, this also is based off of the unknown of sort of what adaptations Arthur Smith is going to have. Like, these are the tendencies he's shown the last 2 years in Tennessee, but maybe he's got some new wrinkles in his book. So I'm not necessarily closing the door on it, but I would sit here and say, like, I don't necessarily know if, like, we should be expecting Matt Ryan as a floor. Let's say that. As a ceiling, definitely. But as a floor to be, like, a top five, you know, quarterback in terms of his efficiency next year. You know, I think as a floor, he's probably, like, a top 12, top 10. So that's still better than what he has been the last 2 years, where, you know, he's barely been in the top 15 in certain metrics in that regard. But like, I think, you know, his ceiling is definitely higher. But, you know, I don't know if the floor is quite like, oh, he's going to definitely put up monster numbers next year. I would be a little hesitant to fully buy into that, but we'll see. Again, it's very early in the process. We'll see what the personnel looks like. Obviously, a lot of this can change as the Falcons make additions over the next, you know, several months throughout the offseason, and, you know, we might be able to buy a lot more stock. The other thing I'll say, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about this when we get to the tight end position, is that this offense should at least benefit Hayden Hurst if his goal is to run more vertical routes. And based off of his social media posts, it seems like that's something that he wants to do. My personal opinion, and again, we'll get into this more with the tight end position, is I actually think the Falcons correctly utilize Hayden Hurst this year for the most part. Again, we can nitpick certain things by all means. That's what we do. But like, I think for the most part, Hayden Hurst's role in the Falcons offense was kind of geared towards his most effectiveness, because I just don't think he's that good a vertical receiver as he's often billed to be. I think he's effective in that role, but I don't think that's like the strength of his game. So we'll see if, you know, I get proven wrong, you know, if, you know, 9 months from now I have to eat those words. So we'll see. But, you know, if that element is a core part of Hayden Hurst's game, and that's something that he can blossom and grow in, then I certainly think this offense is one that could definitely take advantage of that. So we'll see how that goes. But, that's all I really have to say. Obviously, there's still probably more that we can unpack. There's probably more film that I will watch over the next 6 months, and we'll continue to discover and see things with the Arthur Smith offense. But that's all I really have to say about it. Now it's a return to the 2016 offense, but not the same as the 2016. It's like, to me, it's like a you know, it's a poor man's 2016 offense. Maybe that's not the fairest way of explaining it, but like that's kind of how I see it. Like there are certain elements that 2016 that I'm like, yeah, those Yankee concepts. Oh, we're going to see a lot of those. I mean, that was basically all they that's all they ran last year. And I think that works when you have Derrick Henry doing that. But I don't know, you know, is that going to work the same in Atlanta without Derrick Henry doing it? Like, or let me say, obviously it's going to work. I think it's going to work. I just wonder if that's all you're going to do, you know, is it going to work as effectively? So we'll see. We'll see. That's it, guys. I'm rambling now. Appreciate you guys. If you have any feedback that you want to provide me on this topic or any other topics, of course, you can hit me up on Twitter at Lockdown Falcons, on Facebook at Lockdown Falcons, or you can send an email to LockdownFalcons@mail.com. Appreciate it, guys. Until then.